Yesterday, well, actually Thursday evening, at about 9 o'clock, I got a call from some friends of ours from a long while ago who were converted in our previous church. The guy was in the same class at school as my sister when there was a real move of God in the late 60s through my dad's ministry with young people. And he'd got converted, his sister had got converted, the girl who became his wife did. And gradually, these guys became part of a theatre group which Wendy and I ran. And eventually that theatre group turned into a church. And I said to him, "You know, Pete, we own a bus now." And he said, "Wow," he said, "a lifetime's ambition converted into reality." And he went on to talk about the various vehicles that we'd owned at various times with the theatre group. We owned a two-ton house, which was painted orange. And then we had a bread van, a three-ton bread van, which had a sort of chocolate box stage that we could put up in, and all our lighting kit and so on. And then after that, we had a much smaller van, which was plastered with papers, because all of these things cost about 100 quid, you know, each, and so it didn't last very long. The last one we had was a little 500-weight Ford Anglia van, which my brother, not thinking ahead very much, who at 14 years old was running a car repair business out of my back garden. You have to remember, we were the oldest. By this time, the church existed. We were the oldest in the church at 23. So things lived at a different sort of level. But he went and sold the wheels off this van because that was where the value was. And so we had to do something with it. And one day, people are going to dig up the garden of the place where we lived and find that 6 feet below ground, there is buried a 500-weight van. It will no doubt become a cool celeb as they bring in scenes of crime to see whether it was, because it was in a fairly rough area, to see whether there are bodies buried in it and that it's the results of the craze. But that was those stories were things that we shared. And time after time after time, I've been involved in projects which have taken us to the edge of making contact with people we wouldn't meet otherwise. And this morning I want to go on a bit from there. Last week I talked about trying to put the ups and downs of Dayspring in place. If there are questions that you're left with, I've asked around and it seemed that the people by and large felt very comfortable with what I said. But if there are questions, we'd really like to hear them, because I know I'm left with lots of questions about where we are and how things are going at the moment. Next week, I'm going to do something quite different and talk a bit about the prophetic. We're actually going to, in the first half, be doing some family stuff, and we won't have music worship, but we're actually going to be talking about the Spirit as wind. I felt really stirred because God spoke to me very, very definitely, very encouragingly over the past couple of weeks. And I felt as though I wanted to just encourage us in that particular area, because most of us walk around with stuff which didn't really come from God that people have brought to us. And then there are things that God brings in the oddest of ways. And over a few days last week, the week before last, when I needed some really strong encouragement, it came from one and another voices. So that's what we're going to do. But for now, I want to take you through this document that you've got in front of you. And I just wanted to start over on the left-hand side. I'm going to move around over here. If you wanted a Bible passage, and I know some of you feel as though you need a Bible passage for these sort of things, if you can look at Luke 10, where it just says, you know, Jesus says, "Go, I'm sending you out." First of all, he says, "Pray for workers for the harvest." And if there was any time in Dayspring where we needed more people, this would be the time as we seek to push out. And really, the way we've structured this sort of plan on this document is something which is the absolute minimum to take a little bit of a step forward. And so what we hope we're doing is that if you get involved in this, apart from prayer time, and given the fact we're supposed to be praying all the time anyway, that shouldn't affect things too much. What we're really asking for is, can you give us an investment of an extra couple of hours a month? Okay, can you squeeze that in somewhere for the sake of the kingdom, for the sake of the county? But just wanted to tell you, just to deal with the practical things first. The practical things are, number one, we are going to look at having some banners. We didn't want to rush those because while this was mainly labour, it did cost, but it was mainly labour. We want to get some banners. And I don't know whether you've seen those that sometimes you have in car sales places which are on long, thin poles and have got a sail on the top, S-A-I-L. They're called sail banners, actually, and they're surprisingly expensive because they have to be weatherproof and so on and are on a quite a bendy pole. But we'd like to have a couple of those, and if we feel that it's a good thing to go for, and we'd be interested in what you think about it, we will try and get them. And there are three sort of messages we want to get on those banners if we get them. And each has got the same strap line. And the strap line is no strings attached. Okay, because that's what God gave us at the beginning, that we wanted to show his love with no strings attached. And the first one that we'd want to put up would be, it's all free, no strings attached. Okay, another one we'd like to put up would be, God's love, no strings attached. And the third would be, healing, no strings attached. Because, well, as you'll see, we want to get into that. And we want to do little contact cards that people can take away as well, and we're thinking about how we do that. And what we reckon, if our message is no strings attached, that one of the best ways we could do it is actually to construct luggage cards, okay, with strings attached, okay, but not attached to anything. So on one side they'd have a message which would be very simple, and on the other side we'd give them contact details. That's really interesting that in a Freudian slip I left the one thing off here that I'm finding most difficult to deal with, and that's the One Life So Far website. And that's taking a real lot of work to do, and putting together things. Now, I'm actually coming up with another way of doing this, because we've just, by the time we start, we've got to get some stuff on there so that we can direct people to a testimony website. It takes a long time. It takes far too long, the way we've done it at the moment, which is to try and put audio with each of the stories. And we've done it with Steve's, and I've just finished doing that with Paul. And actually, Paul handed me the recording of his interview, which we cut down from 26 minutes. It was a long conversation. And we've just taken a bit out of his story. So what we're doing is we're putting up the text, first of all, on the website with some pictures of Paul and of Paul and Mary. And then you've got those few paragraphs. And at the end, we say, if you want to find out more, press here. And so what you get, if you wouldn't mind, Paul, is this.
I met Mary, who played tennis at the sports centre which my brother runs. And we just chatted as friends. I talked about some of my interests and some of the difficulties that I'd experienced, and we seemed to have a lot in common. So we met at Christmas, and then by Easter she decided to come and visit me, and we've been together ever since. We talked about all of our beliefs and values, and we were seeking something which would help us through life. We both knew that we needed something much bigger than we had up to that point seen. And we happened upon some church workers. They were in the street in Bracknell, and we spoke to them. They were offering something deeper, something new, something which was clearly on a different league, and it was very easy to see, in contrast with all the materialism around, so that they were offering something non-materialistic, and we were looking for something non-materialistic. I remember a time when they were talking about marriage, and they talked about Christian marriage, where God is like a third party within the marriage, like a third intertwining string between yourself and your wife. And that reached something in me. I saw a statue, and the statue was of a broken Jesus on a donkey. And that also reached me in a way that I suppose would help me cry, because I felt equally in ruins. So I think it was sort of like ruins to ruins. I can wake up and at my age, it could be one of 50 or 60 possible relived moments of despair, or moments of which I wish I hadn't been involved in. But I find that if I immediately get up, and if I read a passage in the Bible, I can then soon shift myself out of that mood. I was in a strong family, and I was in a strong school, but none of it touched perhaps some of the deepest parts of me. I'm now in a community, and that community is helping me express what's within me, that in such a way that I know is right.
Thanks. That's just one person's story, and it's told in Paul's way. I was saying to Paul and Mary that I'd edited out so many ums, you wouldn't believe it. And she said, well, can't you do that when he's always talking? But some of you will tell your story very differently to that. But what we want is real stories. And as part of the story, one of the things I will always want to ask and always want to include is, where are you still struggling? Where is it still difficult? Because, you know, life is a life of asking, seeking, knocking. And it doesn't all come easy. So we'll come back to you on that in the next couple of days. Some of you, I might actually ring up and say, if you've got 5 minutes, tell me your story, and write it down there and then send it back to you like I did to Paul, so that you can have a look at it. And some of you might be ready to do the recording, and everybody's recording is different, everybody's way of expressing things. And with some of you, we'll try and video you as well. But let's get the stories on this one way or another, a story and a picture of as many people as we can. I know you're ready to do it. It's just that working out a method which gets the best we can has taken rather a long time. So there's some of the needs that we've got and we need to put through. Because if you see the plan, I've said what the plan A is, and that's 6 times 2 hours. And we'd like to try and see if we can get it going by the 25th of October. Now, it's only 3 weeks away. 1, 2, 3 weeks away, yeah? And it's going to take a real push to get there. But we thought it's the first weekend of half term, and if too many people are away and we can't do it, then we can't, and we'll roll it on a bit. But we thought it would be good if we could do that. One of the things about doing it in the winter is that you do actually get a good time to talk with people, but of course sometimes it's cold. Interesting, over the winters it's been less and less cold. And some of us, people like Paul and myself, and even Richard, although because he's cool, he would need a rather more trendy hat than this, we'll actually need some way of stopping the heat leaving us. I know the first time I brought a long-sleeved thermal vest was to do on the town one particular winter when it was really cold. But the idea is we'll start then and then roll on through, ending up with Easter in that chunk of times. I'm going to I'll come back to that in a minute, but you know a bit about how we work here. So the idea is, if you look at the top arrow where I've scribbled a bit, the one that goes up, We do want people to volunteer. Andy or Dave have got a sign-up sheet somewhere. Somebody's got one? You've got a sign-up sheet, and if you can sign up and say, look, I'm interested. I don't know whether I'm available on that particular day, but please include me in what we're doing. There's the opportunity, by the way, in terms of volunteering. It's a real good idea to have the kids involved if you can. I know that it does muddle things up a bit, but it's great. You need to make sure that you keep an eye on them, of course, and keep them safe. But that's reality, and it may be that some of your kids, like my kids, get infected with the desire to share Jesus at a very young age. And if you can possibly get the infection in their veins now, it will never go away and will be there as a benefit to other generations. I can remember, you know, you heard Simon, was it last week or a couple of weeks ago, Simon Hall's talking, and essentially in terms of his passion to see people come to know Jesus, that started from really very young. And I can remember the time when he was in his early teens, when he first led somebody to Christ. He was 12 or 13, and I think was on a sleepover at the house where Carol and a crowd of the girls used to live at that particular time. And, you know, he was like every other kid. There were times when he was troublesome, and there was an occasion where I think he managed to tip water down the back of your TV as well when he was messing around, I think, on but within all of that, being a kid, there was something that he caught of the dynamic there. Contribute. We really do want to... We thought it would have been nice to have talked to people about how this might be done, and we think if you'd have all been involved, it would have probably been better than we were able to do on our own, because it was being changed. In fact, there were things about it that I didn't know until it arrived this morning, because Andy was, with Dave's help, was working on it. But we thought what we wanted to do was actually to, instead of talking about what might happen, was to do something concrete. But now we want to do as much as we can to shape it. Only please don't say to Andy, you should have done it like this, because that will make him cry, I think, after all the hours he's put in. That's why he was away last Sunday working on that as well. But we wanted to contribute. And then the prayer thing, we're going to try and push up the way in which we pray, because we know this will make a difference. And then we're not going to do any training. I think it's really crazy, these guys who get people together to do training to work in a new situation which nobody has ever been in before. What we want to do is, after we've done it, let's share good practice. Let's say, well, this worked and this didn't, and it would have been easier if this had happened, and so on and so forth, because we learned a lot of lessons from Easter last year, which we're going to try and put into practice, and some of the best ones we'll have forgotten, so we need people involved in that. So that's number three. Now, you probably already understand, if you go over to the other side where I've written activities, okay, you know what we do. We have we give away and make contact in the town, and you remember at Easter, there was all this chasing back with bags of Easter eggs. You know, we had to go running backwards and forwards to do that. Well, we'll have the kit in here pretty much, and it will only be filling up the flask, which will need to be done, but we can work out a way of doing that. And so that will be fairly compact, and we will have trouble because this looks like a selling stall. And we'll have to point out to people that we are not selling. But there you go, that's part of life. So you have to be ready. And if anybody ever tells us to move on, we have to ask why. Because people will, but that is, you know, there are jobs worth around. We know what the law says, and if we're not actually causing an obstruction, then there's no reason why anybody should move us off anywhere. Yes, I shouldn't lean on there just yet. So we give away, and then, and the giveaway will vary from time to time. You know, depends on what we're doing. And if people, and we can give people a little card, because they will ask us what we're doing. Do try and resist any attempt for people to turn what happens into a contract and a deal by giving you any money. Right? We really, really, really don't want... No, this is free. You know? Go give it somewhere else. You know? There's sure there'll be people with collecting boxes, but don't suggest they put the money in a collecting box, because this is free. And okay, you cannot get away from the sense of obligation that kindness brings into your life, which is why we're out there. You know, because kindness has come into our lives, and as a result of that, in a few weeks' time, just as an example, Ruth is off to Romania again, and we'll be praying for her about that. Kindness is an infection which draws something out of us. The love of Christ constrains us. Then downstairs on the bus, we'll have chat and we'll have drinks. I don't know whether we'll have the games out. We can make a judgment on that. It was a good thing last time, I think. But then it means it's something else that's got to be paid attention to and cared for. So you have to have somebody looking after that. And upstairs, we're going to develop the prayer thing. In fact, I'm not even sure whether we need to develop it, because the guys who are up there, Philippa and Marion and Peter and one or two others, were busy more or less all the time. There were people who were coming in and wanted to make connections with God as well on their spiritual side. So what we'd like to do, and I did say last week that there was, the plan A is the bit we're going to go for, but we'd like to go for plan B as well, but that depends whether we've got the muscle to go for it, we've got the enthusiasm to go for it. For a long time, we've had an understanding with Cafe Central. You know, that's the one that's opposite where the Halifax was. You know, the coffee shop there with steel tables outside up near the Angel. They have said that they will allow us to use their venue of an evening for free on the basis of coffee sales, obviously. They'll open it up for an evening. And what we'd like to do is to do a one-off spirituality evening there. It would be what we're doing on the top of the bus, writ large, with various stations that people could go and explore spirituality. I don't think we'd do any talking from the centre, but it would be a chance to chat, for people to drop in, have conversations, might have some little group meditation things going on out the back and stuff. And over a couple of hours, you know, from 7:30 to 9:30, one evening, sometime during the winter after we've got into it a bit and seen how it goes. And the other thing that we're looking at as a possibility is that we're wondering whether as well, you see I put a star there by the 13th of September. I just don't know whether we've got, 13th of December, which is the Saturday. We're wondering whether on the Sunday we could shift our Christmas event to the Cove Theatre, right? And by doing it in the Cove Theatre, it would be just across the grass, right? You know, people just go across up to the Olympiad and then in there. And it might be that if we announced it on the Saturday and put the bus or even just the barrow out on the Sunday, we could even direct people straight from the town to a one-hour event at the Cove Theatre. Now, that's a possibility. Actually, the net cost of doing it is zero, because the Cove may actually be cheaper than hiring here for a Sunday morning. And we could, and the PA's all there and so on. We've got lights and not too much ag. The guys know the venue. You know, sort of, it would be a good possibility. So that's plan B. And we want to ask you, perhaps through the sales, perhaps in other ways, whether you're up for being involved in that. So plan C is this. And this is hot. So just... don't mention this to other churches, because although they're supposed to be ready to hear about the about this, other people are a bit slow off the mark, to be honest, and we haven't quite got it sorted yet. But what we want to do in January is to run a pub alpha. It won't be a male-only event, but we hope it will be, if you know what I mean. You know, that's the way it's sort of geared up. But the idea is that we're going to try. David Slater thinks he's got a way into the Gladstone Arms. You know, the one that's been promoting its lunches just close to the library at the end there. They've got a function room, and we're thinking of having it there. So it will be one that's done without a meal. It will be a slightly shorter presentation, And the idea is start at 8 o'clock. It'll be through, even with the discussion, by 9:30, so if people want to hang out and be around as possible. We've got people who are already champion at the bit to be involved in that, and it's something we can actually promote on the way through. Now, we're open to pressure on this one as to, you know, if there's a market which says this really shouldn't be a male-only thing, we'll listen to that. But I know that there's one guy who's got two tables full of blokes already that he wants to take to that thing. And it wasn't me who was saying it, but he was saying that women would spoil it. And I will tell his wife. And the other thing we'd like to do is, out of doing a spirituality evening, to run a spirituality group. And we know that lots of us are enthusiastic about doing this. It's just really finding the resources to lead it. So they're the sort of plans. Now, 5 minutes just to go through this bit at the bottom, okay, here. Because I do want to mention the fact that there is a basis on which we're doing this, one of which is our experience. That's one block in our foundation. You can see where that is just under the barrow. And the other is our values. Our experience says that people respond. People turn round to you and say, it's very rare you get anything for free. We've had that said to us, isn't it? Or, that's really nice that you've done that. And it will be people who often are lonely, who are isolated, who have got a story to tell. And part of what we will do will be listening to people. That's our experience. And then after you've listened to somebody, it will be possible for you to say very often, well, can I say a prayer for you? And it might be the first time they have consciously known anybody pray for them. So that's that. But in terms of our values, we're down at this thing which is basic and is what we live to and has caused us so much pain up to now that we are definitely not giving up on this. Lost people matter most. That's not because we don't matter, but the people who are most badly injured on the basis of triage are the people who need the most help. So lost people matter most. We are kind because God is kind. This whole thing about kindness, you know, sometimes we get in a bit of a muddle. Well, what is more important, kindness or evangelism? Are words more important or are works more important? Well, you remember about a year ago, I used a signpost and said that our kindness is like a signpost. Until there's a sign on it, it points nowhere and just draws attention to us. And I think Richard gave a brilliant example of that, that until there's an explanation about what the bus is there or what the bus is doing, it can be a very us-focused thing. And we can go away feeling good. One of the ladies in the residence group at Laycock said to me on Tuesday afternoon, you know, we do miss the bus. We feel it when it's not there. But all of that is great. It's the context. But we need the focus of talking to people about Jesus. And we're not going to do training courses about it. We're not going to give you ways of presenting. The best we can do at the moment is to say, listen to people's story. Tell them as little of your story as you can get away with. Direct them to the One Life So Far website. And in due course, they might be interested in hearing God's story too. And if God gives you a word for them, that's great. And I want to talk a bit about that next week when we talk about the prophetic. So, kindness. And then this is why, one of the reasons why we're revisiting this business of ordinary attempts, of missional values this autumn, going through those things, starting small, but start somewhere. The first time you go may well be that you say, well, look, I'll look after that, I'll fill the cups up, but don't expect me to hand them out. You might be okay next time at handing the cups out. You might say, well, I can hand cups of stuff out, but I couldn't pray for anybody. Well, do it in secret. There's nothing to stop you praying for people without their permission. No rule about that. Some of the best prayers are made in direct opposition to people's permission. And then when you've done that a little while, you might find that you're ready to go one step further. So starting small doesn't mean that we finish small. Starting small means that we believe that God is going to help us to reach Wiltshire one person at a time. And then there's the come Holy Spirit thing. If there was one thing I coveted over the next few months, it would be for out in the real world for us to begin to see people healed. There's a lot of talk about it. There's not much evidence of it around, because otherwise we'd be seeing it in the newspapers and around in those sort of places. But for now, it would be great if we could start to pray for people. And let's learn to do it in different sorts of ways. You know, I'm not sure that us screwing our eyes up and putting our hands on people is a very good way of doing it. I'm pretty certain that having some token, which is why the oil bottles, I think, are quite important. By the way, we're still into those bottles of oil. I have them in my study on a shelf. And when I'm walking up and down in my room praying, I will grab hold of the basket and I'll pray over them some more. And if you'd like to be part of praying over oil bottles, then ask me for some, and you too can. We'll pass them round as we pray over them, and we'll get back to that again. So, come Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, the prayer, come Holy Spirit, is not a prayer for anything else than for us to have boldness. Yeah? Grant my servants boldness by stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders might be done in the name of your holy child Jesus. And that's what we want to do. So there's the plan. Talk about it. Do sign up if you can. We'd like to take this forward. Just 2 hours for a bit. Might be that your 2 hours, you say, I can't do any of that, but I will come along on Monday and clean up the bus afterwards. Because that's the problem with using the bus again and again, that it puts us in that position as well. What I'd like us to do is, if you'd all like to stand up for a moment, I'm going to ask you to do anything really weird. I think it'd be great if if we could actually just spend 2 or 3 minutes praying over the trolley, over the kindness cart, whatever you want to call it. Please, Andy says, don't come and lay hands on it, because the paint's still sticking and spoil his paint job. But if we can get in twos and threes, and if you would like, if you're not well today, got something wrong with you, and you need prayer for healing, that'd be great if you could come and let us know, and we'll have a prayer for you out the front here. And who knows what God will do? A real holy place. Wouldn't it be great if people met God around the kindness cart this autumn and into the winter? Yeah? Come and stand out of the rain, and while they're there, we had a chance to pray for them and their lives began to change. It's what I've been investing in all these years. It's got to happen sometime. Got to happen sometime. And the revival could start not somewhere posh that got on God TV, but under an umbrella in Chippenham High Street. Yeah? Brilliant. Okay, twos and threes, pray. If you're unwell, come out the front and we'll do a prayer for you here.